People, help me with the communion. How many of you have first aid kits at your house? Band-aid, emergency medicine, different stuff. I'm telling you, this is the best. Yesterday I come home and I was sick. My head was spinning, my back was hurting, my stomach was hurting. And I thought, ugh, not now. Because we got the Gideon's coming. I got to get over this. So I came over here and took communion. Ate supper, went to bed, woke up great. I'm telling you, this is the best. This is the best emergency kit. There's been times where I couldn't even talk. And I'd take communion, and I could preach a sermon without coughing, and I could preach it boldly, and then go home and pass out. But this is the real deal. And God gave it to us for our healing. The one thing Paul told us, he said, he gave us one reason why Christians are sick and die early among us is because they don't discern the body of Christ. And then Paul's teaching is went rampant through the church and had people confused and had people scared, even. You should go running to Jesus. You should go running to God to take communion. You should go running to Him with the boldness of the blood of Jesus on you, because that's what you have. And we're going to Him for help. He never told any of us to be perfect before we take communion. He told us to take communion so that He could help us out. See, this is our medicine. This is God's medicine to us. And when we discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing and vitality in our body. When we look at this bread, the body of Christ, we understand, first of all, this is called matzah bread. And God gave them specific directions how to make this bread. And it's in little specific square sheets like that. And it's made without yeast. Yeast is significant in sin in the Bible. Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. Also, you'll look at this bread, you'll notice that it's been beaten and pounded flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. In fact, the Bible tells us that He was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. See, our transgressions were sins that we knew they were sins before we did them. And our iniquities are sins that we didn't know they were sins when we did them. He's got us covered both ways. You'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. Bible tells us that by his stripes we were healed. Now notice that this bread has holes in it. It's been pierced. The body of Christ was pierced not only when he was on that cross and that Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side, but his body was pierced when he got a crown of thorns. His body was pierced when he got nails in his hands. And his body was pierced when he got nails in his feet. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood on purpose so that we could get redemption in some areas. Praise God. The shed blood of Jesus does a lot for us. You'll notice that this bread is slightly burnt. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. And that's when Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God turned his head from Jesus at that moment. And the sins of the world, all of them, past, present, and future, were laid on Jesus. He took the full brunt of the curse. He took every sickness, every disease, every shortcoming. He took everything on that cross. Why the Bible says his visage, you couldn't even recognize him as being a man. We're taken into this broken body for our healing and our well-being. We thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because there is no sin in it. The blood of Jesus is the blood of God. We have Adam's blood coursing through our veins. That's why we need Jesus. Jesus has the blood of God. He shed all of us. The blood of Jesus washes away our sins. And 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus continually washes away our sins. Also, it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. Because that blood of Jesus has put us in the right standing with God. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have been on a long trip? Maybe you traveled for 8-10 hours more, and you finally get to somewhere that has a good motel, and you pull into that motel, and you walk in there, and then you get paid in the motel, and you go up into a nice room, and have a nice, comfortable, nice suite, you know, and it may cost $150 or $200 per night. But you're safe and comfortable. Then you can relax. Unfortunately, that's not the way all motels are. A lot of motels are at the end of the road. A lot of motels are dark, lonely places to be. Have you? You know, I've done a lot of travel. And there's been times where I could stay in the nice place. There's been times where I needed to buy one for $50. And you walk into some of these places and you can feel the darkness. Some of the horrible things that happen in these places. You can feel them. These are not places that a lot of people go to, but these are places that end of the road people can go to. See, sometimes people will go there and this is going to be their last stand. Sometimes people go there with the intention of not leaving there alive. I knew one jockey. He was a famous jockey. He was one of the best jockeys in the whole country. And his last stand was in a hotel room in Arizona. And he didn't make it out of there alive. I know of another jockey. He got into one of those rooms. And he said he got so drunk he passed out and he fell out of the bed. And he was laying there underneath the TV. And for some reason the TV was on and he woke up. And there was some preacher preaching on TV. And he got born again. Laying there on that motel floor. He got out of there alive. See, I just read an account of a man that went to one of these motel rooms. And he crawled out on the balcony. And he was going to jump off and then he left. But then he felt compelled to turn around and go inside. There was a Gideon's Bible in there. And he started reading that Bible for the first time in many, many years. He got on his knees and he started praying. He got out of there alive. Gideon go to these dark places and they put these Bibles where people can read them. See, sometimes that's their last stand. And sometimes it's the Gideon Bible that gets in between them and the trouble they're headed for. The Gideon is a good organization. I've told you before, I was getting ready to go to Bible school and I had about $400 in my pocket. And I was in Wyoming, so I was going to have to drive down to Texas to go to Bible school. And the Gideons showed up at our church. So I'm sitting there watching this guy and God said, give him $250. Well, that makes sense. I got $400. I'm going to Bible school. Yeah. I'm serious. I gave him $200 and I walked out of there with about $10,000. God has ways of multiplying the giving. When you're giving into different ministries, that's why we're making a point to give into different ministries. God multiplies your finances. We live in a world who lives on percent. And God operates on multiplication. Amen. So we're going to have Robert Rowe speak to us about the ministry that he serves. Tell us about the Gideons and the different projects that they're involved in and the different places they go. This is a very important ministry in this nation and it's much needed. And there's some motels that have kicked the Gideons out. That shouldn't be, but that's the reality of the world that we live in now. But God wins. His name will be proclaimed all over the world. So I'm going to have Robert Rowe tell us about his organization. I'll rattle you up here real quick. Okay.
This is titled God's Way. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame of the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame to things which are mighty. 1 Corinthians 1:27. John and Charles Wesley, the fathers of Methodism, were raised in poverty. Their mother of the great evangelist D.L. Moody gave her son to others because of their indigency. David, Israel's great king, was the least of the brothers of his family when he was anointed by Samuel. And Gideon, the judge who delivered Israel from the Midianites, was a weak member of the weakest clan of the Manasseh. God seemed to delight in choosing the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, and the weak things of this world to shame the things which are mighty. It's a reminder of us that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians 1:25. God is not looking for wealth or status or power. Yes, he can use the powerful of this world like Apostle Paul, but he also used the weak like Gideon. The fact that God doesn't need the wealth or power means that we all qualify to be used by him. He has wealth and riches and power beyond dreams, and his righteousness in that will endure forever. It is our open hands and hearts that make us useful to him. You talk about the communion and how God heals you. I've had some challenges with my back, 3 back surgeries. 7 doctors told me I shouldn't be able to walk because the first doctor butchered me so bad it's beyond repair. 2 told me I was useless. And I thought, I'm not listening to you. You know, I never listened much to my boss because the boss told me, oh, you don't need to call on these people. They don't use many of these valves. The number one customer that we had, and it put our name out in front of other oil companies so they could see our product. So God leads us in different directions, so we can be glorified. And besides that sign out in front of that doctor's office said they're practicing. God's not practicing. God's in the healing business. I've had friends and family said, how you get, I can't look at your walking. You're walking fast. You're doing things. What happened? I said, God, for 19 years, I begged God to either call me home or let's do something. You know, I was active in high school. If you see any value in me, let's do something. The next week, a cotton-picking Gideon showed up at our church, a guy from La Mesa. And his job is selling oil field chemicals, but he helps his brothers. One farms 640 acres, the other owns a cotton gin. So he said, I didn't lie. He's still a part-time cotton-picking Gideon. And I said, God, I hear what you're saying. I used to use a walking staff to walk. I couldn't walk on my own. My great-granddaughters were helping with them, and I go to stand up. Papa, you need this. They give me my cane and my staff because they love their papa. I'm saying it's a natural wonderment how God shows up. If we'll call on him, he'll call on us. This is not empty words on the book on the shelf drawing dust. This is God's word. And he can use every one of us. He can use me and all that I've been through in my life. There's not one of you that God can't use somewhere, somehow. Sometimes people just need a smile or invited to church. People want to be a part of something. They want to be invited. That's the reason kids join gangs. I didn't get a hold of the pastor in time. We've got some salvation testimonies. One kid named Brian Cole, I met him at one of the state conventions. They don't have Bibles in their rooms. So the Gideon said, look, we're fixing to spend thousands and thousands of dollars in your hotel. Maybe you'll let us put Bibles in here, or we're going to have to find another location. Bring your Bibles in. Come on, bring them in. You know, money talks. Our area director checked into a hotel in Durango, Colorado, planned on being carried out in a body bag. He didn't know why. He just opened that drawer, and there was a Bible that some Gideons had placed in there 20 years earlier. Now he's the area director over the Seminole, Andrews, Midland, Odessa, Snyder, Big Spring, Odessa camp. So one man opened one Bible, one well-placed Bible. I was at that state convention, and I'm using his staff, going down escalators, and there's several hundred thousand, I don't know, a lot of people are there. Guy came up to me with a purple spiked mohawk. He didn't have a uniform on, so he wasn't part of the hotel. He wasn't dressed in, you know, business casual or coat and tie. I thought, well, maybe he's not part of the Gideons. I don't know what he's doing here. I said, no, let me do this alone, because if I fall, I'm going to take you down and everybody in front of me going down this escalator. That afternoon, we get up there, the afternoon part of the convention, he's a guest speaker. He took the purple out of his hair, but he still had the spiked mohawk. 44 years old, he spent 27 years in prison and detention centers. He said, you don't know how many of these New Testaments that I've trashed. One well-placed New Testament changed my life. He said, I've shot people, I've done drugs, I've manufactured drugs. There's nothing, things that you read in a paper that you wouldn't think that you'd meet or know a guy that went through all this is still alive, and now he's a pastor in a church in Illinois. Was a youth director. And the church said, what are you doing? This guy, you're using him for our youth director, and look what he's been through. God can use the least of these to confound the wise. It's amazing every day the testimonies. A girl named Ramona was checked out of a hotel in Hawaii. Been there for a week. She didn't know why. She opened up the dresser, pulled out a Bible pretty much like this. Took it home 2 years later. Her life is a mess, drugs and alcohol. She goes through her dresser drawer and finds that Bible and starts reading it. She said, I don't know why, we do, Holy Spirit. What the Bible said, let me go, and it's better that I go, that I can leave the Holy Spirit to comfort her. She was looking for comfort. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God answered her prayers. A few years later, her dad was going through challenges, drinking. She led him to Christ and was a caregiver until his dad passed away. But she led her father to Christ. What blessings. What a blessing. We do international scripture blitz where we go other places in the country. A group of guys out of Amarillo went to Thailand. Thailand's 95% Buddhist. So they went into this Buddhist temple and they said, look, are they going to let us in or not? Well, we don't know if we don't ask. Pretty much scriptural, right? If we don't ask, we don't receive. The headmaster said, yeah, bring those Bibles in. You know we're Christians. He said, absolutely. Buddhists teach peace. Wasn't Jesus Christ the Prince of Peace? Absolutely. I won't ever go into every classroom we have and put your Bibles in these students' hands. It amazes me. In these other countries, we can go into their classrooms. In America, we have to stand on the sidewalk to hand out New Testaments. We can go into prisons, but we can't go into schools. We're praying, and I ask for y'all to pray that we can go into schools and talk to these students. I remember as a kid, we had to get in to come into our classrooms. I forget what they called them. It cost 10 cents to get into this, and they did a presentation with all the kids coming to the auditorium. They handed out Bibles to every one of us. So it's amazing how God is using this. When you get through going to these classrooms, go into the cafeteria. I want every student to get a testament. They're going to be in there praying. Oh, we don't want to interrupt the praying. Oh, no, they're just praying. So their prayers and our prayers are different than what the Buddhists teach. One kid said, now, I can't know God without going through Jesus, right? Right. John 14:27, I'm the light, the truth, and the way. So that kid goes through there. We have a plan of salvation in the back of these New Testaments. There's a prayer and a place to sign it. That student signed that New Testament. The Gideons are so excited, they're talking amongst each other. Look at that kid just signed a Bible. He's accepted Christ as his Savior. They turn around and he's talking to another student and he's signing his New Testament. How far is God going to take this? I think it's amazing what God's doing. How the Word of God is spreading. Another group went to Poland. They went into he was a lawyer, and he took off 2 weeks to go to the country. Now we only go for a week. They went to a hospital, and they said, nope, don't come in here. We don't want your Bibles. Go somewhere else. At the end of those weeks, they'd gone to everywhere they were supposed to go, schools, the police, armed forces, all of them. They said, go back into that hospital and try it again. But they just told us no, and the lawyer said, I'm used to being hearing no from the judge, but, you know, I'll try it again. He goes in and talks to that administrator. He said, bring your Bibles in. I want every doctor, every nurse, every patient, and when you get through, leave Bibles in that room. But you told us no. What changed? He said, y'all went into the schools this week, and y'all gave one of those Bibles to my daughter. Me and my wife and daughter went through that Bible and started reading it. And a help guide in the front, she was tired or lonely, showed where to read, and just started reading it. He said, this is what this country needs. It needs the Word of God. Bring them in. Bring all that you can. Bring them in. It's testimony after testimony how God is doing this. it amazes me. Like Pastor Skeet said, God's in the multiplication business, and he's doing it every day. We have testimony. I've got testimonies everywhere. God's, since 1908, we distributed 2.67 billion Bibles around this world. Our average age is 71. I'm 72. We were at Saul Ross here last month. I took a kid, where do you live? In this dorm. I said, no, when you get through a school, where do you live? He said, Houston. Look up the Gideons in Houston. We need some new members. Told him, average age is 71. We're 72. He said, there ain't no way you're 72. Look, y'all walking, get around. You know, when I was a kid, 50 was old. And, you know, now that you're 72, it's young. He said, there's no way y'all are that old. Yes, sir, we are. He said, I'm going to do that. He said, he's part of the Christian Student Union at Saul Ross. The words we were telling him and sharing with him, it set him on fire. I said, we need more younger people. We distribute Bibles in over 110 different languages. We do have now a Bible app card. I left some of these on the table. When I started speaking 5 years ago, it was less than 1,000 languages. So now it's 2,366 languages. You can plug this in your phone. People can download it off your phone. It's amazing how God is doing this. One well-placed New Testament, God said, I want to do something for y'all. He said, if I can do this, I want other people to know what God's done for other people, what he's done for me. We have these Gideon cards. This one's thinking of you. I left some on the table. It's to further people's legacy. One pastor I was talking to, he said, I don't like gift cards. I don't want gift cards. I don't give gift cards. Heard about this Gideon card. He said, now I'll die, and I don't want to die today and tomorrow. But if I die, the best thing you can do for me is buy Bibles in my name. The Gideon card, let's leave a legacy. This one life will soon be passed. Only what God has done for God or Christ will last. Our love and labor for the Lord is never in vain. Don't waste a single day. Let's live with eternity in mind. Let's invest in tomorrow and let's outlive our lives. These New Testaments that we have, the average cost is $1.52. This Bible here, where all these are printed in America, is $6.50. You can't go into a Bible store and buy a Bible any cheaper than this. They believe in what we're doing, and so they're holding the cost down so we can get the word out more. Every dime, every dollar that y'all contribute, invest in the Gideons, it goes to buying Bibles. We pay our own way when we travel. One guy said, how many salvations do you expect out of every testament you give? I said, 100%. With great expectations come great results. And this is God's business. This ain't, we just call ourselves the Gideons because we're the least of these. Who would think a bunch of 70-year-old men could do the things that we're doing? But it's not us. It's God that's doing this. He's opening doors that only he can open. We've had several schools. We had a Gideon in Colorado. It was over four junior highs. They call them middle schools now. I'm still junior highs. Two schools said, don't bring them in. Two said yes. He said, okay, the next year, he said, this is the results that we had. There's less absenteeism. The grade points are higher. We've had less discipline problems. All across the boards, things are twice as good as used two schools that didn't accept these Bibles. The next year, all four schools said, bring them in. Bring them in. I'm telling you, it's exciting what God's doing. This life book that I brought in, this is on the book of Mark. Three students went in and wrote their comment on what they thought the scripture said. A teacher wrote his comment, which was what the Bible was saying. And life book suggests that school students take these and hand them out to school. In fact, hand out 30 of them. One girl did this, there's 12 salvations. 36 new members would make a big difference, and that's only if the family has one kid. To get these, we can't order these. The churches have to order these. On the book, it's got lifebook.com. They'll send all that you need. No shipping, no cost at all. 100% they send to, no cost. I'd give this to a church on Vacation Bible School. The pastor was so overwhelmed, he used it went through every chapter every week and taught on the life book. The white ones are in the book of John, and we also now have them in Spanish. So we're making it available as much as possible to get the word out. And on these Gideon cards, you know, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God lasts forever. But when you know, we're spending money or we're investing money. When you spend money, it's gone. When you invest money, we expect a return. When the, like I said, the flowers, the grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of God lasts forever. That pastor said, if that's the best thing you could do for me, is buy Bibles in my name. The Bibles that we put in hotels in a period over 6 years have the possibility of reaching over 2,300 people. I just, folks, it's amazing how God is working. You can ask what you, can you do to help. First, pray. Pray that we have unending funds so we can buy more Bibles. And then pray for our health, that we have we can still do this work of God. We got 55 members in our Odessa camp. Every one of us have some kind of health challenge. One guy's got cancer in his bone marrow, which is the first stage of leukemia. He works as much as any other else member of our camp. One's got Parkinson's. He shakes. But he's always doing something for the kingdom of God. So we pray also that somebody would step up. God's calling you. I'm telling you, the average age is 71. We've got one guy that's 90 years old and still shows up every Saturday at prayer breakfast and serves somewhere with the Gideons. Pastor, I want to thank you. Thank you for the time allowing us to share. Congregation, thank you for your attention so we can do these things. I'll be standing at the back of the service with the open Bible. If God leads you to want to contribute into the Gideons, I'll be there. Like I said, every dollar that y'all invest goes to buy Bibles. We pay our own way. So, Pastor, thank you again. God bless you. I feel at home in this church. I don't know how to tell you. Some churches, you just feel more welcome. This is one of them. I feel like I'm home. So God bless you for all the service, all the work that y'all do. Don't slow down. Keep going, folks. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.